towards that.
Everybody got one? All right, you'll see there's two pages that deal with 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 22. This is out of NIV and Amplified versions. We're going to take a look at this scripture. Going back to the title of our retreat is, how do I become a spiritually effective person in the lives of my lost friends, of lost people? To start with, they're not friends, they're people that you're trying to be effective with spiritually. Now, we looked at the chart, we're trying to get them from a minus 10 to a plus 6, right? And that's kind of the goal, but it's a process that has many, many steps in it. And unfortunately, I think the teaching that comes out of organized religion wants to move very quickly, and they do it sort of in a way like we teach public school, you know. You're in a big classroom. I remember when I was in college, the first time I was in a class of 325 people, and I'm thinking, man, I don't know what I learned. I can't remember the name of the course now. But anyhow, our movement, we are one-on-one. That's what our goal is, to get one-on-one with a man and get into this process with him. So, but first, I've got to cultivate a friendship with him. And Living Proof Lessons teaching that we'll get into a little bit more after lunch. The first session is based on this scripture, 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 22, where Paul starts out saying, though I'm free, I belong to no one. So what I'd like to do, let me just say this, unless you really get this, unless this really gets in you and you're willing to deal with people based on the way Paul said he dealt with them, and we'll try to look at that a little deeper today. Take some time to really look at this particular scripture. Unless you're willing to do that, I think the rest of it might be not that effective for you. Maybe you can do little bits and pieces of it here and there, but unless you get your heart right around this particular scripture with people, you're going to be not as effective as you would want to be, I don't think. So let's just, this is kind of open for comments from you as to, as you read this first part of this scripture, though I'm free and belong to no one, what does that say to you as you meditate on that? What is that saying to you as a follower and believer, believer and follower of Christ? What does that say to you? For me, I'll say first, I'll open it. I don't answer to anybody. I don't have to answer to anybody. Any organization, any man. I answer to me and to God. But let's go on. How would you say that? What is it? What is that scripture saying to your soul?
You're independent.
It's a good one. What else did you say?
Independent in action.
Okay.
Self-assurance.
All right. By the way, you can make notes as some of these come along to help clarify this in your mind. Anybody need a pen? I've got some extra ones. Okay.
For me, I just don't put any other men on a pedestal like a lot of people do, like certain pastors or
Yeah, you're not a follower
except
of
for Jesus, you know.
Yeah.
He's like the only person that I really esteem, you know.
So Paul is saying, I don't belong to anybody. I do what I want to do. Any others?
James, freedom comes choice, but with choice comes consequence.
Okay. Taking us down another trail here. Consequences.
Yeah, I don't want to extend to what you're doing. But what I mean by that statement is, I'm free to choose. I owe no man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a subject to anyone. But I do have a choice. And the choices that I make have consequences. They also reflect on my character.
Pretty deep there, Kim. But I'm a little more surface on that.
I think it also can affect the relationships on what Kim's saying. You know, you get to the point that maybe that's so ingrained in your spirit that you're not conscious of those around you, wife, family, what have you. So I think that you need balance between the two.
I think that's where you get lost in this whole thing, right there. Yes, I do. I'm a glad hander with people. I'm not judging them. I'm a glad hander. I'm not worried about me. Is Paul worried about me?
No,
he knows who he is.
But he also said he made himself a slave to the all the
couples. Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
But he knows who he is. I know who I am, Kim. Bob, I don't have to worry about this other trail with people. That's what I think. You don't have to agree with me. But that's what I've come to believe. That's, you know, I said, if you're going to do this well, you're going to have to change some things. And that's one of them. Worrying about yourself and what other people think of you. Andy, you had something.
Well, that last part that you said is, I'm running and I'm free from being a people pleaser. So
right.
I'm meeting with a guy right now that's a mess. He'll call me at home on the weekends. There's always problems. My wife thinks I'm nuts investing time in this guy.
Yep.
Because he's not going to do anything for me.
Right.
And so, you know, she and my mother-in-law like to talk about how crazy I can be sometimes, how I spend my time. But I'm learning to be free of even what they think of me.
Mm-hmm. Great, Andy. You're getting it. Those wives will beat you up over messing with people that aren't going to do anything for you. That's they got to nurture you, right?
I deal with oil field trash.
Yeah.
That's what they call it. I am oil field trash.
Me too.
So I just sit there and I go and I do my thing and they. Play their pool and they'll swear like Taylor, and I just sit there and drink my tonic water, and that's who I am.
Yeah.
You know?
Paul said, what a wretched man I am. That's me.
That's who I am.
I'm from the church of a wretched
Paul
man. As a messenger, remember, we are the messenger for Jesus. We are his messenger. So I haven't got any obligation to anyone as the messenger other than Jesus. I don't have to please my wife. I don't have to please my children, some organization, some denomination, some set of rules. Okay? So, but I got to know who I am. I belong to Jesus.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say, that last part there, belong to no one. I would take exception because will not belong to Jesus, will belong to God. He says he's a slave who belongs to no one. So
I think he means no man.
No one on earth.
Yeah, we could go dig into the actual Greek and everything. Rick's probably right. He's probably belong to no man. But that's the way I take it, John.
Good, thank you.
That's a good point. Any other points on this very beginning here?
Well, my wife, Laura, was raised in a church. It's always other people's opinion. Mm-hmm. It drives her a lot. And I began telling her years ago, I just don't care what people think of me. I just don't care. Now, I care for their heart and who they are. I mean, I get a caring heart, but I'm not worried about the consequences of who I am. Mm-hmm. I know I'm an asshole and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not worried about it.
Right.
Who I am with this obtuse personality I have. And I just go with it, because he made me that way. And I just try to hit a straight leg with a crooked stick. But I don't care. I mean, I'm not worried about public.
Okay, I'm there to please, for me, I'm there to please me and Jesus. Okay? And what pleases me is to please Jesus. So it's pretty simple. Number two, I have made myself a slave to everyone. So what are you thinking about that? We have problems with all kinds of people. Okay. I have trouble with the know-it-all guys. I have trouble with the excessive talkers. I had a guy tell me that he just, every time he sees a fat person, it irritates him. Okay. You know,
he's irritated a lot.
So, I mean, our flesh, see, this is a battle of the flesh. Scott and I were talking a minute ago. He's involved in some stuff it's all about realizing that your flesh, I've been crucified with Christ, right? But the memories that are in my flesh are there, and they aren't going away. I don't have to follow the flesh anymore. But that's the battle, because the spirit in me is telling me I need to love that excessive talker. I need to love that person that thinks he knows everything. All right? Because the spirit is telling me I need to do that. I was telling my wife Nancy, she was going to be with three women she used to play tennis with. I said, Nancy, you don't have to like them anymore, but you got to love them. Okay? And so, that's our call. So any other thoughts on make myself a slave to everyone? Well,
I think it's easier to think of it as being servant than slave. Slave is a terrible connotation, because I think that's exactly where Christ wants us to be.
Paul didn't use that word, I guess. Servant than slave. Servants. Yeah, you might get paid for that, huh? I'm a slave.
In other contexts, the slave, in line with the statement of it's easy to love those who love you.
Yeah.
I get from that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to get a slave to love somebody you feel or rubs you the wrong way in the worst way that you don't like.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think I'm a man of lies.
Well, let's go a little deeper here, all right? As a servant, as a slave, I got no rights. You know that? Slaves have no rights. The Constitution does not protect slaves, okay? They had no rights. So I have no rights. And I remember people telling me, well, she's violating my rights. I got a right for this, a right for that. You just keep with it. That's really going to work in marriage. I, as a slave, I have no rights. As a servant to any and all.
Okay, I got a thought.
Yeah, go.
So, but a slave does have a master. So our master is mm-hmm. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But we're a slave to Jesus first and his other people. Just do what he wants us to do.
That's right. It's good. So God must do the work in other people. Not me. I'm just a slave. I'm just the guy that brought the message. I don't have to figure it out for them and fix them.
I
know that.
I was thinking about the movement model, Jay. The miracle that I'm seeing in my life is that as I get to know Jesus more and become more like him, I care about people in a way that I never could have before. So I care about their soul. I care about their ministry. Kind of
mm-hmm.
So if I meet a client, a friend, a lawyer, the people I run into in my business, I'm thinking that they're one of two kind of people. How can I serve them right now?
Right.
How can my heart soften for them right now? They're able as I am. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But how can I love them?
Yeah, we're called to love them. We don't have to like them. There's a lot of people I don't like. They really turn my flesh off big time. But I'm called to love them. I don't have to defend them either. I don't have to defend them. I just got to love them. I don't have to say, you know, that's what people do is they defend people that they don't love. I don't have to do that. I just love them. Try to be friendly with them.
Simplifies your life.
Oh, big time. I mean, Satan is so busy in your flesh, 24/7. Getting after you about all the things you don't like. Right? That's what he does.
As a slave, you're also not responsible for fixing anybody.
Nobody, that's right. Slaves are not responsible. They will not be called to be responsible for that. It's very good, Rick. Very good. What about my personal opinions? What do I do with those now? With the boss? That's the biggest change because you've been shooting your mouth off about your personal opinions with people all the time. So I keep my personal opinions to myself until we get, I'm in the cultivation stage, remember guys? So we get on down when we start sowing with men, then my personal opinions matter. What I think about 2 Corinthians 9, 19 through 20, then it matters, all right? But not in the cultivation state. Keep your personal opinions to yourself.
A slave also works.
That's what you're, that's right. From dawn up to sundown, right? You're working. Maybe even after the sun goes down. Okay? It's a 24/7 occupation for me. Any other thoughts of I've made myself a slave to everyone? By the way, that includes everyone.
You mean Obama?
Yeah. Those guys that wear those red hats or don't wear red hats. You know, everyone.
Tales of matter of slaves. 1 Peter 2 says, for such is the will of God, by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, but do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God.
That's good. So we'll talk a little bit more about that, Tim. That's an interesting point, okay, of how we deal with the law. When we're with the boss. Okay. Should we go on to number 3?
Hey Jay, one more comment. You slave to everyone. Another influence in the movement doesn't understand how, but I'm to find common ground. with these guys. You know, if they like something I'm not crazy about, I'll go do it anyway.
Yeah.
To build a friendship with them.
That's what Jim's talking about. He played pinochle?
Cribbage.
Yeah. With these oil field guys, you know. So if I'm worried about my, you know, relationship with God, I'm not worried about my relationship with God. That's a done deal, by the way. Did you know that? Your works don't mean a whole lot at this point, as far as your personal relationship being a done deal. Your sins are taken care of. You got a place in the family. You're now set free to go out and be a messenger. Not worry about the law so much, okay? Because that's what Satan will use to stop you. He'll use the law.
So when I was with this business guy that went to Dallas, our first meeting, I was trying to go to their office. And it can be, you know, 45 minutes away, South Lake or something like that. But I make the trip to go there because I get in the office and I get to see the environment and then I get some common ground.
Sure.
And I just champion it and make it. And there's sort of a, you'll come over here and I'll meet you halfway. No, I'll come over there, you know, so an hour and a half kind of thing. But it isn't fun. Just go, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun.
You spend your money on the lost, don't you think?
I do. It's so hot. Yeah.
Yes, I know. You drive. You burn gas. You put miles on your car.
I put 17,000 miles in the first 6 months ago. It was like crazy.
Big city, big metropolis area that you're in. Want to look at number three? Any other thoughts before we do? Okay, to win as many as possible to Christ. What are your thoughts there?
Don't stop. Keep going.
That's
the goal.
Yeah. Get them up there to that. Make a decision. Minus two. Repentance. Minus one. Plus one. Post decision evaluation. Help them get there. Okay. But that's a long way from drinking beer down at the pinochle game, right? Cricket game, football game. But you never know how fast God will act and how quickly He'll move. And you never know if you almost fall off a cliff and kill yourself and wake up. Because that's what happened to me. And that happened in a nanosecond. So God is busy in the life of these lost people. He cares about them. And if you're praying for them, His Spirit will come upon them. How about some more thoughts about win as many as possible? And I put to Christ, not to religious behavior, not to theology, not to other organizations that they adhere to, you know. Etc. That's what we tend to do in the religious, spiritual, Christian environment, is try to win people to something other than Christ. That's what we're trying to win them to. Yeah, Andy.
I would not change the wording to say, you know, with the goal that they would be one to Christ, but my role is to help them move one step closer. Because I was thinking the Living Proof videos, I think Dave talks about, is it 75% of our time lost is cultivating?
Yeah.
And then sowing is maybe 20, and then the harvesting is the smallest percentage. I may never see a guy who harvested, but
that's
I
right.
Participate somewhere, you know, in that process with the vision that that they will be one to Christ somewhere along the way.
That's right.
And then that may not be me.
Yeah, absolutely. But God has a lot of other resources to help with these people. We don't have to take them all the way through Seth. Seth's meeting with a guy that he's going to leave before long, that he's moving him along, and he's at maybe a four. somewhere. But he might never get to see this guy come to the Lord because he's going to move to another city. So we just do whatever we can to help them move one step up this ladder of spiritual awareness. And we've got God who has many, many helpers to do the job. We don't have to do the whole thing. Although we would like to, but God won't let you do that very often.
So does our desire to win men to Christ have to be stronger than our fear of being a slave?
I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Because otherwise I'm going to not want to be a slave.
Well, that kind of ties to the verse that Kim talked about that we're freedmen. You don't have to be a slave, Randy. Your salvation doesn't hang in the balance. You don't have to do any of this.
Not for salvation, but if I want to do what God wants me to do, I need to be a slave to everyone.
Right, so your love your love for Him, if it doesn't override that, then it's not. That's 1 Peter 3:15, and your heart set apart Christ as Lord. That's the beginning. Right. Jesus isn't Lord of your life. You're not going to be effective telling other people He should be Lord of their life. That just makes you a hypocrite.
So to win as many as possible, I'm going to try to reach a wide range of people. I'm not going to start cutting people out of my life. Stan was saying, he went to Dallas, and all of a sudden, he's got people from all Indonesia or Asia, Vietnam. They're coming out of the woodwork from everywhere. There was a time in my life where when I was in my real estate business, I wouldn't have anything to do with those kind of people. I just wanted, white guys who had money. That's all I was interested in. That was my agenda, I didn't want to waste my time on guys that were kicking tires. I have to avoid my judgmental behavior of people. I really do. And, the world says, you're a racist and you're judgmental and all that. They're right. That's your flesh. Everybody's flesh is judgmental. That's what you were born with, okay? That's why you need Christ and the Spirit in you to override that in your life. Because that's what we are. We're judgmental, critical human beings. That's our nature. We're born with it. It's the sin of Adam that we got.
Jay, I think about this process, and I think about Ralph Watts.
Yeah.
The lifestyle for him.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I noticed when I went out with him was people. He was non-threatening. Mm-hmm. There was something about his demeanor. And it wasn't just winning people to Christ. It was a lifestyle to let people know about Christ.
Yeah.
And I think there's a difference there.
Well, Ralph's a wonderful guy. He's one of my favorite people in the world ever. But he was operating out of the 1940-50 model. Most of the time he was a contact evangelism guy. And which there's a time and a place for that, no question about it. But in terms of our everyday lifestyle evangelism is going to be a whole lot more effective over the long haul.
But you don't know what happened to these people.
No, that's not my problem.
Well, you can't judge what type of evangelism he's doing if he's out there in a non-threatening manner letting people know about Jesus Christ. So anyway,
my take on it. Okay, good. It's a good take. If I'm going to evangelize them, I have to do this. I have to win as many as possible. I've got to enter their world and experience their point of view. Whether you like it or not. And we'll keep coming back to that. Are you willing to enter their world and experience their point of view? So all my life, I enter people's world, and then I tell them my point of view.